trials are designed to conform us to the image of Christ.
But Dr. Tony Evans says no matter how big the problems we face, they don't need to overwhelm us.
Every trouble that enters your life as a believer in Jesus Christ has to pass through his fingers first.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. One of the first things a teacher tells students is, pay attention, there's going to be a test. Well, the same is true in the spiritual classroom called life. Let's join Dr. Evans as he talks about what it takes to make the grade.
One of the most important features of growing spiritually is the presence of trials. You cannot grow without them. Now, I know you wish you could. We all do. Today, I want to talk to you about trials, the test of spiritual growth, the interruptions in life. Listen to what James says in James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, James sounds like something wrong with him, doesn't it? He says, count it all joy. Consider it all joy. Get your praise on when you run into an interruption in life, an unscheduled dilemma. The reality of trials, in fact, the necessity of trials, is absolutely critical to your moving to the next level of spiritual maturity. Please notice, he says, count it all joy, my brethren. He's talking to Christians. When, not if, you encounter various trials. You're either in a trial. Anybody in a trial? You coming out of a trial, or you heading toward a trial? You cannot escape them. To define it more formally, a trial is an adverse set of circumstances in your life, either allowed or created by God, that is designed to develop you spiritually. A trial is an adverse circumstance, an adversity that enters into your life either because God brought it there or because God allowed it there. But here is the thing you have to know. All trials in the life of the believer, my brethren, are designed for the same thing. They all have the same goal, and that is to develop you spiritually. Job said, trouble in life is to be expected like the sparks fly upward. It comes with it. Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble. All you have to be is an occupant. You get mail at your house that says occupant. They don't care who lives there. The difference between trials as a Christian and trials as a non-Christian is, watch this, there is no such thing as a Christian of a purposeless trial. That does not exist. You cannot have a trial that does not have a reason attached to it. And here's why. Because every trouble that enters your life as a believer in Jesus Christ has to pass through his fingers first. So there is no way to escape the reality of trouble. Let's look a little bit closer at the reason for trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, verse 3 says. And verse 4 says, let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The goal of all trials is to move you to spiritual maturity, as reflected in the word perfect. The word perfect means to mature. Trials are designed to help you grow up spiritually. Maturity is the process of having life, the life of Christ, formed in you. In the same way a sculptor takes a block of marble and begins to chip away at it in order to create something, God uses trials to chip away at you in order to create the image of Christ in you, which is maturity. Trials are custom made. Your trial has your name on it. Don't look at me when you're going through your trial. And I can't look at you when you're going through your trial, because my trial has my name on it. God knows what I need, what I can handle, how much I can take, and what he's desiring to do. And therefore, like a good tailor measuring, he knows how to fit your trial to your spiritual need. The goal of trials is that we may be perfect, lacking nothing, that is, reach the level of spiritual maturity where we are responsible adult Christians, and difficulty is a part of that process. When a goldsmith heats up gold to purify it, the question is, how does he know when it's ready? All goldsmiths use the same standard to know when the gold has been purified and it is ready. It is always when they see their reflection in it. God uses trials and he uses heat until he sees himself in you. Trials are designed to conform us to the image of Christ. He calls it in verse 3, the testing of your faith. You say you love God. You say you want to serve God. You say you want to grow in your faith. Let's test it. I remember telling a teacher one time in one of my classes, "Teacher, I'm ready for this test." She said, "We'll see." It's one thing to sit on a soft pew and verify, validate a sermon. It's another thing to hit a test. It's one thing to like a classroom because the teacher is laying it out. It's another thing to sit down at exam time. It's different. Testing calls your faith to the witness stand to testify. You say you believe it, you say you know it, you've sung about it, you've amened it. Now let's see if what you have affirmed in the pew, you're willing to affirm at the exam. Everybody wants to grow, but nobody wants to take a test. One of the things runners do when they want to increase their speed is increase their stretching. You see the players out stretching, because stretching gives you the ability to run faster, to go longer, to broaden your stride. When God wants to take you further, he stretches you. It's called a trial. This process of maturity or being like Jesus Christ demands that your faith is tested. And he says, let endurance have its perfect work. Don't take half the test and quit. That's a temptation in a test, especially if it's a hard one, to quit halfway through. Let endurance have its perfect work. Finish the test. Get it over with. Don't be hanging around the same test for years. Some of us been seated at that same desk, taking that same test for years. And the reason why is because we do not let endurance have its perfect work. That is, we do not finish it. Complete it. We're looking how we can run from it. And if it's a test, it's designed to mature you, and God won't stop till you pass. He will take 25 years on the same test. When you fail a grade coming through school, you get to repeat it. Junior high school, we had a 19-year-old dude still in eighth grade because he was repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating because he would never pass the test. So you would not see any growth, any development. You can't be a doctor and skip medical school. If you're under the sound of my voice and you are running from the test, God's going to find you and make you retake it. Now, it may be in a different classroom. It may be located in a different school. But you will have to pass the test before your change comes. And a lot of things that we call problems are really tests. And we keep saying, how can I get out? 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 God's answer is the same. When you pass. That is, when you finish taking it, let endurance have its maturing results.
So how do we get those results? Dr. Evans will have the answer in a moment as he continues this final lesson from his series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. If you missed some of the messages we've been sharing over the last few weeks, you can get the entire collection to review on your own schedule. They're available on CD or downloadable MP3s. The complete 2-volume, 16-message set includes material we haven't had time to present on the air, and it's available to you as our special thank you gift when you make a donation in support of Tony's ministry. And there's another bonus. It's a popular 365-day devotional book that explores the core themes of Dr. Evans' legacy work on the Kingdom Agenda. It's called Life Under God. And we're bundling it for the last time today with every request for the Essentials of Spiritual Growth audio collection. Get both of these resources when you visit TonyEvans.org today, or give one of our friendly resource team members a call at 1-800-800-3222. They're happy to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222, or online at TonyEvans.org. We'll get back to the rest of today's message right after this.
What if you could step off a plane and step into history? Living history, where stories you've heard for years come to life and take on new meaning because you're right there where they happened. Instead of telling your children about the resurrection, imagine standing with them in the empty tomb. Picture yourself on the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, or exploring the Old City of Jerusalem. You can do all this and more on the vacation of a lifetime. And do it with Tony Evans when he hosts his Israel tour. You'll enjoy world-class accommodations and delicious meals as you tour the most beloved sites in the Holy Land. There'll be teaching sessions with Tony where you'll learn about the history and significance of the places you visit, plus great music and worship. Best of all, you'll share an unforgettable experience that'll change the way you understand Scripture. Now's the time to make plans since space is limited. Check out the complete itinerary at TonyEvans.org and make your reservation before it's too late. That's TonyEvans.org.
Okay. I got it. There's a reality to trials I can't get away from. The reason for trials is to move me to the next level of my spiritual maturing process. Well, then that raises a very practical question. How do I get through them? How do I make it through a trial? He gives you a number of things, no matter what your trial is, physical, financial, emotional, circumstantial, relational, whatever it is. Number one, He says in verse 2, count it all joy. The first thing that will determine how you make it through a trial is how you look at it. He says, count it all joy. Now, let me tell you what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, count it all happiness. Happiness fluctuates based on circumstances. If you're depressed here today, and I tell you that you just won $1 million, trust me, your emotions will change because your circumstance changed. He does not tell you to count it all happiness. He says, count it all joy. When you run into a trial, don't complain. Don't get mad. Don't place blame. Don't get bitter. Don't seek revenge. Why? How can I count it all joy? Joy has to do with your internal well-being. It is stability on the inside, regardless of circumstances on the outside. But you say, if I'm hurting because of my trial, how in the world can I tell myself, be joyful? Simple. He uses one word, knowing. You got to know something. In order to count it joy and say, yes, this is good. I feel bad, but this is good. You got to know something. The devil does not want you to know what I'm getting ready to tell you, because if you discover what I'm getting ready to tell you, he loses his control over you during the tough times. He wants you to know that the testing of your faith is giving birth to something. Oh, now I have an illustration. On Wednesday night, I went to the hospital because I got a phone call that my daughter Priscilla was in labor. I walked inside of the room and she said, Dad. I said, what? She said, I've never had pain like this in my life. She said, I thought I was going to die. I hate Eve. She was in pain. On top of that, she had to cooperate with the pain because the doctors were saying push. There were grunts, groans, and tears. It was a painful situation. But why didn't she say, I quit? I'm not doing this two more. It's taking too long. That's number one. It's taking too long. If the baby was ready to come out, why don't just come on out and leave me alone? It's taking too long. I got there at 5:30. I thought I was going to be back for church. But no, the baby wasn't cooperating with the program. Baby said, nah, I've been living here for 9 months. I like this place. But why didn't she say, I quit? I'm not going to do this no more. I can't handle this, because she knew something. She knew that at the end of the process, no matter how long it took, hour after hour after hour, at the end of the process, something was going to be born. She counted it all joy. Not because of the pain. The pain didn't give her joy. It was knowing what was going to be produced because of the pain that gave her joy. If you ask her when she held that baby in her arm for the first time, was it worth it? She'd tell you it's worth it. In fact, the reason I know she and many of the ladies here thought it's worth it is because you decide to do it again. God says, I want you to know something. When I allow or bring a trial into your life, it is with the purpose of giving birth to something. Birth to a new reality of Jesus Christ. Birth to a new level of spiritual growth. Birth to new depth. In trials, you don't feel happy. Don't feel bad that you don't feel happy, because usually with trials, there is no love and happiness. But what he wants you to do is he wants you to know something. And that is, this experience is not in vain. You say, but I've been pushing for years. Keep pushing. You're going to give birth. Joy comes from knowing that God is using the trial to grow you. That's why Peter can say in 1 Peter 1 these words, in 1 Peter 1:7, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to the result of the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. In other words, he's going to give you something to shout about when the birth of the baby of maturity comes out, full of glory. Once you know, see, the devil don't want you to know this. He only wants you to see the trial. He does not want you to see the baby. You see, the reason why you got to count it all joy, because if you start counting the trial, things won't add up. You want to say, Lord, I thank you that you have brought this thing into my life. I don't thank you for the pain, but I thank you that you are up to something here, that you're going to do something here. You're going to use this here, and I'm going to know you better, experience you more, and be more overshadowed by your glory when I pass this test.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with history's best example of triumphing through a trial. But first, today's message is the final installment in Tony's 2-volume series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. As I mentioned earlier, you can get this entire 16-lesson audio set as our gift to you, along with the bonus daily devotional book, Life Under God, when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry here on this station and others like it throughout the nation. But this special double offer ends today, so make sure you contact us right away. Just visit us at tonyevans.org or get some in-person help from one of our Resource Center team members when you call 1-800-800-3222. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans says the fact that we're worried can be a bigger problem than whatever we're worried about. Right now, though, he's back with these closing words of encouragement for today.
The Bible says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, Hebrews 12:2. Friday was a bad day. He was crucified like a dog on Friday, beaten beyond recognition, thorns on his head, cat of nine tails with stone or glass in the tips, ripped his back open. Friday was a bad day, a day he wished he could have avoided. Let this cup pass from me. But the Bible says he kept his eyes on Sunday. For the joy set before him, he kept looking at Sunday. And while Friday was a bad day, because he kept focusing on Sunday, he got through Friday. He knew Friday wasn't the end of the story. He knew God was going to use Friday to bring about Sunday. And after Sunday, things would never be the same. He would be glorified.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.